Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Empathy. Empathetic leaders. Empathetic parents. Empathetic friends. What's the status of the issue of empathy these days? How do we see it? How do we view it? How do we play its role? You know, we've just been through a presidential election, and we're still debating the final outcome of it. But many people have indicated that Mr. Biden was preferred because of his display of empathy, or what they perceived as empathy in him, more than they perceived in the personality and lifestyle and behavior patterns of Mr. Trump. And that may have played a big role in the election that we have just experienced. However, empathy is a mixed blessing. It may not be what we think it is. In fact, companies are now training their employees to understand empathy and how to utilize empathy as a tool and as a lifestyle and as a pattern of behavior for a company. 20% of the companies are now looking at this idea of empathy and how it can be played out in their particular company and how it might affect their bottom line. Empathy is often mistaken for compassion. Very, very different. Compassion is pleasurable. It's a pleasurable experience to be compassionate with somebody else and to display and to express compassion. But empathy, on the other hand, is very hard work. Empathy means that you understand and that you share the emotions of another person. In other words, you know where that other person is coming from. You know what the experience is, the background of that other person. You have delved into that and you understand that. And then you can relate to that person on the basis of that understanding. That's empathy. You know, compassion is when we have powerful feelings of warmth and concern for somebody else and for what they're going through and the suffering that they might be experiencing. So in other words, they're very different kind of things. If you think of Mr. Biden as compassionate, that'd be different than empathy. If you see him as empathetic, that's different than compassionate. Sometimes we get those two mixed up and people don't understand those particular differences. Experts say stepping out of yourself and exploring the perspectives of others is really what empathy is all about. You get into the feeling of other people, you get into the circumstances, the situation of other people. You understand that. That's hard work. That's difficult. And when you do that day upon day upon day, that leads to burnout. Counselors are particularly vulnerable to burnout because of a day long of trying to be empathetic towards other people. Nurses, physicians, many of the helping professions are prone to burnout because of this issue of trying to live their day and relate to people empathetically, not just compassionately. Now, this issue of empathy needs to be understood a little bit further. We're finding less empathy today in our world than we did years ago. We're finding less empathy today in the political world than we did years ago. Empathy is decreasing. It's diminishing. So apparently people don't understand it. Apparently people cannot learn the skill of empathy, have not learned the skill of empathy. Something's missing because we're finding less empathy in businesses. We're finding less empathy in government. We're finding less empathy in the political world. We're finding less empathy in the religious world. Overall, we're finding less empathy today. Something's going on. And we don't know what's going on with our leaders. On the positive side, empathetic leaders are often attuned to the concerns of their people and they're better at gaining information they need to make a decision to solve a problem. So in other words, an empathetic leader is very much in tune with and aligned with the concerns and the feelings of the people with whom they work, so that they can collect information, hopefully to make a good decision. Empathetic leaders are often better at comforting others. They're often better at avoiding blame. And they're better at repairing the team's ability to work together. They're more adept at convincing outsiders that the company cares, or that the church cares, or that the family cares. You see, empathetic leaders have certain ability. It's in that area of caring. It's in that area of understanding. It's in that area of connecting with the concerns of other people. That's where empathy seems to have its strong points. On the other hand, empathy has a negative side, or what might appear to be a negative side. People who are empathetic could be so susceptible to the emotions and perspectives of others that they struggle to assign blame. That's a very important point. In other words, they get lost, they get tripped up, trying to understand and trying to connect with and trying to relate to somebody who's involved in a problem, but they can't get to the point of assigning blame. What went wrong? How did it go wrong? Who was responsible for the wrong? And then, obviously, how to fix the wrong. Empathetic leaders are often more worried about repairing internal relationships. They want things to run smoothly. They want the relationships to be favorable and to be positive. They're more concerned with that than they are repairing relationships and fixing a problem. It's getting along as compared to fixing a problem so it doesn't happen again. Empathetic leaders and empathetic people sometimes base their favor or base their decision, I should say. They base their decision on the way to reduce anxiety or to reduce tension or to reduce stress or to reduce pressure rather than to fix the problem itself. In other words, empathetic leaders kind of get tripped up in this area of relationship. Relationships sometimes are more important than solving a problem. Relationships are more important than fixing a problem. Relationships are more important than finding out why a problem happened, who is responsible for it, and then dealing with that. Empathetic leaders kind of get off the track. So it may be a nice quality. It might be a nice quality in relationships. It might be nice to work with somebody who's empathetic. It might be nice to work for somebody that's empathetic. But when it gets down to the bottom line of fixing a problem, identifying a problem, fixing that problem, dealing with that problem, preventing that problem happening again in the future, empathetic leaders fall short. They have difficulty there. Now, here's a few practical hints. It comes from a book that I'm drawing upon by an author, Mr. Walker. The book is entitled The Captain Class. The Captain Class. The subtitle is A New Theory of Leadership. And in this book, Mr. Walker identifies some of the problems that obviously take place in business and offer some practical guidance to businesses. Number one, every bit of empathy helps. Studies have consistently shown that people in business tend to be slightly less empathetic than the general public. CEOs tend to have their thinking on their organization and are less empathetic than the employees. However, he goes on to say that a little empathy is likely to pay off in a great way. Studies have linked it to better work climates. Studies have linked empathy to higher retention rates and even to higher profits. So empathy is important in many, many ways. It helps. Every bit of empathy helps. But a CEO, the person at the top, the person, the leader, needs to be careful not to be only empathetic. He has to be problem-solving oriented, you know, as well. And that goes for parents. It goes for teachers. It goes for pastors. Sometimes when you get too involved in the caring process, the understanding process, the relationship process, where empathy is the king, so to speak, we lose sight of the problem and it doesn't get solved. And that problem then eats away at a company or in a relationship over time. You got to get to the problem, not just fix relationship, not just make people feel better with each other. You've got to get to the cause of a problem and solve that. He goes on to point number two, empathy can be delegated, he says. One of the things about a manager is that a manager is empathetic. But it's more important that the people who manage downline, one's immediate supervisor, is empathetic. That's where empathy really pays off in a company. It isn't so much that the manager is empathetic, although that's important in the initial phases of problem solving and building a company and building a team and so on. But the day-to-day performance depends upon the empathy that is exuded and is manifest and displayed downline at the work level, where workers really get on, where their hands get dirty. And those are the managers that really have to be and need to be empathetic. And mother and dad, one of you needs to be very empathetic. Generally, the rule is that mother is the empathetic one. Often that goes better. She has more of the day-to-day dealings with the kids, more of the relationship issues with the kids. So her empathy is extremely important in the home. Doesn't say dad is off the hook. He needs to be empathetic as well, but certainly mother does. And when problems occur, the empathy has to kind of be there, but somebody's got to focus on the problem, focus on the cause, focus on the solution, and carry out a solution. Mr. Walker goes on and says, listen is the key factor. Listen to everybody. Empathy has a tool, he says, and that tool is listening. You got to have the skill of listening. High-performance teams listen, have a skill of listening. It's a matter of understanding, but you can't understand if you're not listening, if you're not paying attention. So build relationships, build effective relationships, build successful relationships through listening. Somebody's got to be there to listen and be concerned and express their concern and express their support and then take that information and move it into the realm of problem solving. Listening is a place to start. It's a place to bring people together. It's a place to get people to share and to talk and to bring ideas forth and to contribute to the solution of a problem. Listening is critical. We have to move from that to the idea of problem solving. And then here's the fourth point, Mr. Walker says. A leader has to criticize very carefully. People expect leaders to hold them to standards. But nobody wants a leader who is a name caller. Nobody wants a leader who criticizes somebody through a vast array of statements, of critical comments of various kinds. Remember when Hillary referred to the Republicans as a basket of deplorables? Most unempathetic statement that anybody could make. Putting people into a classification in a derogatory way. Very unempathetic. So what we expect of our leaders, what we expect of our political leaders, is not to come across as being unempathetic. We want them to listen. We want them to be concerned. We want them to show caring. We want them to show that they understand. We want them to kind of understand what people feel like and what people want and need. But then we have to move on into a solution, problem-solving solution. And when that's the case, leaders have to express that in kind of a stoic, kind of way. In other words, objective. Subjective, you listen. Objective, you come up with your solution and you announce what is the problem and the solution to that problem and then move forward. And then lastly, Mr. Walker says, don't get discouraged. Empathy benefits are invisible, but that doesn't mean that they don't exist or that they're not important. A good work environment, employees are often happier with the state of things than is the boss. Even in homes, kids are often happier with how things are going than maybe the parents. In the church, maybe people are much more happy about how things are going than is the pastor. In other words, the top leader may not really fully appreciate all the good things that are going on down below where the action is. But the employees really do care because that's where they live. That's what affects them. So we have to have empathy as part of a comprehensive leadership strategy. We have to know its place. We have to know its purpose. We have to know how it contributes. We have to know its role, but it's limited. In leadership, it's an initial phase. Listen, understand, care, bond, bring together, support, encourage, heal. Then we have to move into a phase of problem solving, of placing blame, placing responsibility, coming up with a solution, and then activating that solution and getting past it and moving forward as a company, moving forward as a family, moving forward as a church, moving forward as a social organization, and so on, even as a nation. Sure, we need somebody to listen at the national level, but there are a lot of problems to be solved. And we don't solve the problems by just making sure that people get along. We don't solve problems by having people work for us that we just like and that we keep them friendly and we keep them happy. We've got to do the tough decision-making after the empathy is expressed, and that is problems need to be solved, problems need to be attacked, problems need to be addressed, and sometimes that's a hard thing because people don't always agree, and that has to be done stoically. Mr. Biden has a tough role ahead of him. He may be empathetic, but he's got to be a problem solver. He's got to be a decision maker. He's got to split the facts. He's got to deal with issues and you solve problems more than keep relationships friendly and happy and positive. Think of national leaders in that particular sense. Maybe Mr. Trump had a good balance. Maybe he had not a good balance. But that's how you have to kind of look at where leaders are. And now we shift it to Mr. Biden, see how he leads relative to his ability to be empathetic and then move beyond empathy into problem solving. Hey, nice to have you with me. Thanks for joining us. and bring about the role of empathy in your life today, in your family, in all your relationships, if you will. Bye for now.